Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach, but I started out as a life coach. What is a coach? It's someone who helps you score in the game of life. Yeah, when we get together with people, we create power. What is synergy? Yeah, it's that we multiply. No, we empower people. Think about that with the numbers. It's not 1 plus 2. It's not 2 plus 5. It's not even 2 times 5. Is it 5 to the second power? That's 25. Yeah, well, go ahead and do some numbers in your head and think about how the thousands, the hundreds of thousands numbers can become great. Yeah, well, you know what? Even more, even better. So can people. What is your potential? I tell people, my clients, my colleagues, my friends and family members, there is no neutral energy. It's either good or bad, just like it's never still. You're moving forward or back. Yeah, you can move to the side, but are you making progress personally as an individual? How are you when you come together with other people? Do you motivate and inspire them to make progress, to learn and grow and improve? The positive energy that you create when you come together with people, it's infectious. Yeah, when you're in public places and people see you smiling, they hear you laughing, and if they hear friends talking and laughing, they want to get involved too. Maybe not in your conversation topic, but yeah, they want to be with your positive energy. So take a real quick inventory. How much of your energy just throughout your daily life routine is positive? Go ahead and be honest with yourself. Does your lifestyle give you time to be positive and reasons to do it and to come together with people? All right, I'm just going to start out with a joke because I've told it to so many people this week when I went out visiting businesses and talking to the people who were right in front of me when I walked through the door. That might have been the receptionist, the secretary. You know what? It might have been the manager in a store saying, "Hey, how's it going today for you?" And I said, "It was wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. It's not raining yet." That was my answer. That's my stock answer in Seattle, Washington. But I thought, you know, people talking to people is a good thing. It reminds me of a joke that my son told me in high school. And I still, 10 years later, I can't forget. The Spanish teacher was explaining that in Spanish, things are feminine or masculine. You have to put an article, el or la, in front of a word. And so she was giving examples, la puerta, la comida, el pollo. Okay, well, you know what? One man, it was an adult class. He raised his hand and said, "Is it el computador or la computadora?" And she said, "Well, do you think it's more like a guy or a gal? Just trying to have some fun." He said, never mind. retract the question. Yeah, she said, "No, you know, we're going to have some fun with this. Men over here, women over there. Let's make it a game." Yeah. "Talk it out and tell me if you think this machine over here is a guy or a gal." And so the men immediately got a pen and paper and started making a list and whispering. They said, "No, right." And she goes, whoa, wait a minute. It's just a game. What are we writing down here, folks?" And the men said, "Yeah, no, this thing's a chick. It's pretty female in every way." And she said, "Well, why don't you read the answers that you wrote down? Number one, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they can interpret. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in long-term memory for future retrieval. And four, probably the most important, you lose half your paycheck on their accessories." And the teacher said, "Oh my gosh, ladies here, I'm drowning. Save me." And they were very quiet and very serious and said, no, this thing's a guy. We'll tell you why. We got four reasons too. Number one, they don't do anything for you if you don't turn them on. Number two, you give them information all day and they still can't think for themselves. Number three, they claim to solve any problem you give them, but you know what? In real life, they're usually the problem. And most importantly, you know, if you had just waited 6 months, you could have had a better one. Now, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. I told this joke to pretty much, I want to say, every person that I spoke to this week who would let me stay and socialize for more than 5 minutes. And a lot of people, they got just as much pleasure from it as I did. And I knew when I walked out the door, They still had a smile on their face. And oh, yes, they had their two cents to contribute as to why each one of those lists was better than the other one. But we all agreed on one thing, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to give each other up anytime soon. Yeah, and we do appreciate each other, and we love to hate each other, but we need it. We need each other very much. So now, what I'm thinking about in the energy department, do you realize the power you have over people? Well, who do you feel you're accountable to? Who do you believe you're responsible for besides yourself? Okay, so what I was actually doing this week was going into businesses and asking them an opinion question that I asked my husband. Actually, I discussed it with him, and my son just kind of helped himself into the congregation. No, it was the conversation. Wait a minute. Did you just say something? Nick, what are you doing over there? Are you talking? No. Oh, I'm just thinking out loud. Okay. So here's what I was talking about. I actually posted this on LinkedIn as a, just a conversation starter about people and appreciation and respect and trust and what, honestly, what's important most to you as an individual? Look, I have about 18,000 connections and they all have very different opinions, but most importantly, they all have very different interests and focuses. And I thought, okay, look, if I've got 18,000 people who want to do something productive with me, I want to get to know who they are. Okay, so let me see. I've down to the challenges, practical challenges. No, let's go down to the other one. Yes, I do. Here we go. Here we go. The art of synergy. This, and I actually put a picture of a two lions kind of leaning up against each other and one caressing the other. Okay, so let me ask you this question. Appreciation, respect, and trust. Which comes first in your opinion? Do you have to trust someone before you can respect them or appreciate them before you can trust them or can you only appreciate them if you respect them? It was kind of just a random series of questions to get some thought going in people's minds. Well, the minute that I said, let's see, do you have to trust someone before you can respect them? And I said to my son, you've got an opinion about that. And he said, trust and respect have nothing to do with each other. You have to compartmentalize and understand that, yeah, you can respect someone for a lot of different reasons. When you trust them, it's personal. And I said, whoa, wait a minute here. Okay. I'm like literally walking around in a circle now as I say, look, I can understand and respect your opinion, but I see it differently. I can only respect someone who I trust. And then I thought, well, you know what? That's because if I trust you, you've earned something that's very personal and very emotional inside of me. Respect, that's a personal admiration and appreciation of who you are and what your skills are. Yeah. And so I just started thinking about it and I said, no, wait a minute. My son is very convinced that his opinion is right. And you know what? I kind of think I'm more on the right side. So I'm going to go ahead and just talk to people for a couple of days in the community. Like in restaurants or in stores while I'm standing in line. And then I thought, no, you know what? Washington, Seattle weather. Yeah, there's sun out today. I'm going to hit up some businesses and hand out my business card and see if I can get some meaningful conversations going here. Yeah, you know what? I got a wide variety of responses. Everything from, I don't respect anybody I can't trust. Literally, the minute that I got the question out, it was like, no, absolutely not. And I went, okay. And that was actually the older generations. Then the younger generations, like my son's age, actually said, yeah, I can respect someone that I don't trust. You respect their position, you respect the work they do. And I thought, whoa, it's about how you define the word, not just the concept and the principle applying in your life. And so, yeah, you can respect something that someone does, and that makes you respect them in a certain way. And again, I think I'm right here. So the way I define respect is just different. But then we got to the trust part. And it's like, well, trust, is that something that you earn over time that you have to prove? Or is it something that you trust someone until they give you a reason not to? Okay. So yeah, I had quite a few interesting conversations. And I even asked people what they thought, yeah, about the definitions of each of those words. And that's where I think it got interesting conversation wise. A couple of them were even 15 to 20 minutes long. And I thought, you know what? I'm really glad that I have people in my life telling me their opinions because now I understand that the younger generations are actually more willing to respect than someone, then the older generations are willing to respect that readily. And the younger generations actually forgive more generously and more willingly, right, than the older generations. And so I thought, well, what is that about? And I asked some of the younger people, I said, why do you suppose the older people are so adamant about no, I am not going to respect someone I do not trust. And they said, because they do trust people more easily. And so something has to be done in order for that trust to be taken away. And I thought, okay, now that makes sense. But I think probably my favorite response was from a man in a truck, right? A freight truck hauling furniture. And I said, can I ask you a real quick question? And then I heard from his answer that he didn't speak English as a primary language. So I asked him in Spanish the question, and he had a lot of interesting things to say. But the first one is, oh, if I don't trust him, I respect him even more. I went, whoa, okay, why don't you tell me what that's about? Can you explain that to me? And he said, yeah, because I respect people and as a gift to them. Yeah, but it's a social responsibility. It's not just how you feel about them and how you see them. It's about how you behave around them. And I said, you know what? I'm getting a lot of those answers. And he said, if I don't trust you, that means you have given me some indication as to who you are or what you're going to do or what you have done. I'm getting a feeling. So giving you respect, giving that person respect is about protecting myself and preparing myself for a potentially bad situation. But yeah, no, it's not going to be bad at all because I know how to treat a person the way they deserve to be treated. But then I thought, okay, wait a minute. Now, isn't that the way we should all be treated? Not like we're scary, but that, yeah, we have the power to do powerful things and amazing things. They could be good or bad. And that's the difference. When we think about what I was talking about, the energy and the power that we have, that's either positive or negative. The things that we do, the choices that we make are either going to help or hurt people. Let's look at people in a different way. I talk about personality profiling once in a while, but that really is the foundation of what I do, not just in my practice, not just in my business. And with my, excuse me, with my colleagues and yeah, my, I just, even with my friends and family and my church members, the congregation that I'm in, I had to learn a secret formula of how to make this work. I needed to understand behavior. Okay, so when we're talking about human behavior, I found a different style of analyzing people. Hey, you know what? Let's read their zodiac. Okay. Okay, yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, there's a Chinese zodiac. Well, okay, but let's actually do some kind of psychology thing. Oh, okay, well, we could label them as mentally ill. We'll find out what mental illness is. You know what? That's really not that fun though, and I don't want to focus on what I hate most about people or what's difficult about them. I was a very young girl when I first had my personality profiled by an actual system, and it gave me a lot of encouragement and confirmation that, yeah, I'm a very distinct kind of behavior person profile. Okay. Yeah, there's only about 2% of the world that's like me. But the things that made me different were the best things about me. And so it helped me to be very grateful for the differences in me because I saw them rather as strengths. Now, it was the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the MBTI, and that has become worldwide a recognized and appreciated system, personality profile system. So I'm going to go over some dichotomies. I was going to take breaks, but I think my producer might be multitasking right now. So in the event that you want to ask me a question as I'm going through this, please feel free to do so. And let's see, I have, let's do the powerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. If you would rather talk, right, you can go ahead and call the station. It's 888-627-6008. Or on LinkedIn. Again, my name is Gabrielle Cardona. Ooh, and I just got another invitation for a connection. I think people have been reading my posts here and are very interested in what I've been saying about behavior and the personality. Okay. So I'm just going to periodically check and see if anyone has called into this station. Okay. And okay. So let's go to the four dichotomies. There are actually four different letters of your personality, and each sort of section, right, has two different options. The first one is introvert or extrovert. Now, that's about your social energy. Where do you get your energy to be with people from? It's either from yourself when you're alone that you spend that on other people when you interact with them, or you get your energy when you interact with other people and you use that energy when you're doing things alone. Now, the extrovert gets their energy from other people, and the introvert gets their energy from themselves. Now, there are some questions that I ask people, because a lot of people have said to me over the years, well, I'm both, especially because there was a very fashionable word out there called ambivert. Okay, but no, you are either one or the other. And I'll explain a little bit later why that's so important to remember. So some questions that I ask people are, number one, who do you call your friend? You know what? An introvert can like a lot of people, but from birth to death, they will be able to count their total number of friends on two hands, 10 at the absolute most. And there's usually only active about 5 to 7. Okay. So, but an extrovert would say, hey, if I met you and I like you, yeah, we're friends. We hit it off. Introverts only call friends very special people. Okay. And so the second question I ask people is, when you have a special event, do you want as many people there as possible or just your friends? Okay, an introvert would say just my friends. An extrovert would say the more the merrier. So let's go ahead and take that next question then. What if there is a very large group of people there and it's not necessarily your party? Do you want to be the center of attention? Yeah, an extrovert would say, yeah, I'll grab a microphone and I'll get up on a stage and I'll do some kind of beautiful performance. And an introvert would say, no, you know what? I'm going to be over there watching people, maybe having a conversation, but with only one or two people at a time. The third question really begs that topic. When you're being verbal, right? When you're speaking directly with someone, how much does it bother you if they interrupt you? Okay. An introvert would say, I'm just going to stop talking until you're done. Okay. No, an extrovert would say, yeah, we can talk over each other and whatever's most important, one of us will hear and we'll keep talking. And yeah, I'm sorry, what was the question? And then the last one is, if you have to raise your voice, how much does it bother you? Well, you know what? An extrovert could actually talk really loud in a party. Well, there's no party going on. Why are you raising your voice? Says the introvert. We don't need to necessarily yell in order to be heard. And if we do, for some reason, there is background noise. That could be music. It could be other people. Again, we'll stop talking. Do my listeners, my viewers, my colleagues and connections, do you know that I'm an introvert? Most people don't believe it simply because I'm socially confident. That's not the same thing. Okay, so choose introvert or extrovert for your personality. And remember, there is no right or wrong answer. The world needs both. So keeping in mind that we're going to appreciate and respect and earn trust in our relationships, A-R-T, it's an art. We appreciate and respect and we trust and trust that all of those things are very vitally important, introvert and extrovert. Okay, so the second letter of your personality is either S or N. Those words are sensory or intuitive. Now, yes, intuitive starts with an I, but I has been given to introvert. So we're going to use the second letter of the word intuitive, which is an N. Excuse me. Okay, so how do you know if you're sensory or intuitive? Well, I love using my husband as an example because he's sensory and I'm an N. I could not be more intuitive if I tried. Some of the questions I ask are, do you get lost walking around the block? I do. I may have gone to a city 2 or 3 times, but I don't remember. Is it that one or is it? No, wait a minute. We went down this. Or no, no. Oh, it was the other street. It was 16th Place, not Drive. Okay, hold on. My husband, as a sensor, he literally remembers buildings and cars and not just the street names, but really specific items that he visually paid attention to as a sensor. The second question I ask people is, if you're looking at food, a new kind of food, and it looks kind of scary, do you have this urge to put it in your mouth? Do you want to try it? Even if it's a bad experience, hey, that's still good. Well, okay, an intuitive would say, no, I know what I like and I'm going to eat what I like. I don't like to be stimulated in gross ways. Well, you know what? A sensor wouldn't say that it's gross. They would just say, oh, okay, that's different. And they might even finish it if they didn't like it. The third question I ask people is, do you take words literally? Do you tend to speak literally? If I say to you, where are you right now? Do you say, I'm sitting in an office at a desk? Or do you say, I'm at a really important point in my life? If I say, where do you want to go? Do you think right now to the grocery store? Or, you know, I think I want to change my career. Sensors are very aware of the external, which means they need to pay attention to what's going on around them in their immediate environment. An intuitive thinks more about the future, okay? And they see things symbolically and figuratively. Yeah, long-term, big picture, which begs the next last question. Are you thinking about what's going on 3, 4, 5 days, a week, a year, a month from now? Then you're probably an intuitive. If you're thinking about what's happening maybe in 5 minutes and you don't want to think about that anymore because you got things to do right now, then you're probably a sensor. Okay, so S or N for the second letter, E or I for the first letter. Now, the third letter of your personality is about how you make decisions with that information that you just absorbed, you processed from your S or N function. Okay. Do you make decisions as a thinker or a feeler? And again, I warn people, be very careful. It's not about a thinker being smart, okay? Because there are a lot of really stupid thinkers in the world, and a feeler being emotional. No, feeling is about taking other people's needs into consideration and caring very personally about other people's needs. Personal. That could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be physical. It's tending to others. A thinker is someone who says, I need to do what's logical and rational because I know even if not here right now, it's going to make someone happy. It will be for their own good because if something makes sense, it's logical, it's rational, it will have good consequences. Well, a feeler might say, not if it hurts somebody, if hurting them can even mean making them just suffer a little bit. So let me ask you this question. If you think you're a feeler or a thinker, are the choices that you make usually logical and rational, or are they caring and kind? Okay. Logical and rational as a thinker, caring and kind as a feeler. Okay, so then the next question I ask people is, if you had to bear bad news, if you had to deliver bad news to someone, how much would it hurt you to know that they're going to be hurt by what you've said? Well, you know what a thinker would say? That's just life. And the sooner you hear it and you accept it and you process it, you can fix the problem. Well, the feeler would say, I don't want to tell them. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news because I know that even if it is potentially something that could help them, you know what? Have that other person over there tell them. And I'll be the one comforting them when they do hear that bad news because it means they will have an emotional need that I will be very aware of and very interested in and very willing to help soothe, ease the pain. Okay, so the bottom line is a feeler would say life doesn't have to make sense. And you know what? With people, it usually doesn't. A thinker would say it does if you work hard enough and you take the time to appreciate the principles and the concepts that life is about. It literally helps us to succeed when we know these things. So then I ask a question when people, again, they can say, I'm both. I do both. Yes, everybody has to do both. But which one is easiest for you? Which one is the most pleasurable to you? Yeah, which one do you do well naturally? more than the other one. Okay, so here's a question that I like to ask people. Okay, think of someone you love very, very much. You have to provide them with a service of, oh, life-saving surgery, and you've never, ever performed surgery. But I promise you, I'm going to give you the book on anatomy and physiology. I'm going to give you all of the tools. You have all the time in the world. All you have to do to save this person's life is make sure you do a good job on the surgery. And again, you have no time constraints. As long as you keep doing this, then they're going to survive. My question now is, if there is no painkiller, you can't numb them wherever it is that you're working on them, so you can hear them and you can see them suffering as you do this. How well would you be able to compartmentalize? That's a question that I love to ask people. Compartmentalize is, again, not just completely detach, but accept that, yeah, pain is part of surgery. I'm still going to learn very large words, and I'm still going to use very new tools to perform this procedure, this process. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to bite the bullet, and I'm going to succeed. Yeah, a thinker would say, you got to deal with the pain. A feeler would say, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, what page were we on, and what do you call this thing in my hand? If you know that you're causing pain, even if it's for a good reason. Okay. Now, the last letter is, once you've made the decisions as a thinker or a feeler, how do you carry out the decisions that you've made? You're either a perceiver or a judger. Okay. So let me, before I go to this one, see if anybody has sent emails. Okay. I haven't gotten any notifications here. Let me do this again. Okay. Refresh my email again, thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. I don't see anything here. And again, excuse me, 888-627-6008 if you have questions. Okay, so the last letter of your personality is either P or J. That's perceiver or judger. Now, some people don't want to be called a judger because they think that it means they're judgmental. Oh, no. Perceivers can be very judgmental as well. Okay. The last letter of your personality is about when you carry out the decisions that you've made, do you prefer structure and consistency and organization, or are you spontaneous and flexible and you like new things? Okay, well, a judger likes to have structure and consistency and routine in their life. Excuse me, a perceiver, they go with the flow and they're very flexible, like I said, and willing to adapt to their environment. Now, I'll ask you a few questions and again, be honest with yourself with what is easiest for you naturally and what are you best at naturally and what do you get pleasure from the most? Now, these are some of my favorite questions because look, two of my kids are judgers and I gotta say they raised me very well with some of the things that they have, quirky, right? Idiosyncrasies. Okay. The first one is, if you have an appointment at 3:30, okay, and you know that the only option that you have because of, let's say, public transportation, you're either going to be 5 minutes late or 55 minutes early. Yeah. Okay. Would you rather be 5 minutes late or 55 minutes early? A J would say, oh my God, being late makes me crazy. I'll get there and wait. A P would say, hey, the party doesn't start till I get there. 5 minutes isn't that long. A J would say, actually, it's 300 seconds, my friend. Okay, my next question. I love that one because it's true. J's love to be on time and it's even better to be early. The second question is, do you write to-do lists? Do you know what things you need to do that day and have it planned out before you start? Yeah. J's really like to have the schedule. They know what they're going to do and they love to write to-do lists and keep it with them. Okay. So again, if you write a to-do list, if you're a perceiver, yeah, you check it out every once in a while and see if you're on task, right? Or see how much you've done throughout the day. And you might be pleasantly surprised. You even threw in a few extra things there. Well, a J would say, yeah, I have things on my to-do list done because I scratched off every one of them and I checked back on it. And if I've done something that's not on the list, I'll write it down just because I like to scratch it off so much. It's a feeling of accomplishment and success and fulfillment. Yeah. So how important is it for you just to finish things? That's the next question I ask people. You know what? Perceivers, we start a lot of things and we get a good portion of them done. No, Jays are not that way. They absolutely must finish what they started or they will be distracted by it, the thought of it in whatever they do next. Okay, yeah, you'll definitely know if you're a J because you're more excited at the end of a project. A P is more excited at the beginning. That's why P's can start a lot of things. J's get their energy when they're done. Okay, so now this is an interesting little concept here. When we're talking about personalities, I could sit here and recite, right, profiles of 16 different personalities because there are two options to each letter and there are eight total letters. Okay, so that could be up to 16 different personality profiles. Well, you know what? I've already taken up half an hour, so I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to share with you today is something very important. It is the secret that I did not tell people until recently in a book that I published. Yeah, it's very important to know the functional order. That means everybody has to do everything. The question is from best to worst, from most preferred to most resisted. Yeah, and how much pleasure does it bring you? How well do you do it? How easy is it for you? Now, wait a minute. Let's just stop for a minute there. People do a lot of things that are very hard for them to do. Not that that's a bad thing. It is a good thing because it means you're learning how to do more and better things in your life. But this is a question that I ask people before I go into the next part about your functional order. What do you think is more harmful to you? Doing what you're not or not doing what you are? What do you think is more harmful to the people around you when you're not doing what's natural? Doing what you're not or not doing what you are? What do you think hurts other people more? What do you think hurts you more? Because yeah, it does. I liken the different levels of functionality to different life activities, everything from breathing to running uphill. Yes, running uphill, sometimes we have to do it. Not as a lifestyle, okay? Not as an all day, everyday activity, like breathing. And so if you understand which activities qualify on different levels for you, then you'll be able to say, yeah, okay, this is good. I like this. Okay, so if we're standing here going, yeah, some kinds of. Okay, you know what? The four levels. The first one is dominant. The second one is auxiliary. The third one is tertiary. And the fourth one is an inferior. Okay, so I like to liken these. I use illustrations a lot, metaphors a lot, because especially with my husband and kids, when I'm explaining something that can be a concept, it can potentially be confusing. Let's liken it to something that we can relate to in daily life. Number one, the dominant function, excuse me, the function that you need to do most for your personality type. You need to do that for 50% of your waking day. Now, if you're awake for 16 hours a day because you're good, you get 8 hours of sleep, that means you need to spend 8 hours a day doing something that is so natural for you. It's like breathing. Okay, so I say the dominant function is easy and pleasurable, and you do it well. Okay, who wants to figure out how to figure out the order of your functions? Let me finish the other three levels and then I'll see, first of all, if I get any calls or any requests, any kind of questions. The second level is auxiliary. If the first one is dominant, it's like breathing. You can't stop doing it. Literally, if you stop, how long are you going to last? Come on. Okay. So we'll think about that as a dominant function of breathing. The second level, the auxiliary function, is like eating. You don't have to do it all day, every day, like breathing, but you do need to do it and you're good at it. And it's very pleasurable if you're eating the right stuff. Okay, so the second level, again, the auxiliary function, you need to do that for about 4 hours a day. If the dominant function is 8 hours and the auxiliary function is 4 hours, okay, that means you have 4 more hours to do the other two levels. That's not very much to do the other two activities. The tertiary one, I liken it to walking, okay? You need to do that for 2 to 3 at the very most hours a day. Walking, you know what? Again, with the dominant, it's easy and it's pleasurable and you're good at it. Yeah, you know what? The second level, it's pleasurable and you're good at it, but you do have to put some effort into it. Unlike the dominant function that happens automatically with eating, you do have to put some effort into it and you have to think about it before you do it. Now, walking, okay, you can get good at it, but it's not pleasurable per se. So you need a destination. You need a reason to do it. And it's not automatic. So it takes effort for you to do it. The same thing is true with your tertiary function. Now think about this. When it comes to yourself, we'll go into the logistics of the different personalities, but think even more about who else in your life, who has a hard time with certain things that for you are like breathing. For them, well, it's walking, it's tedious, it's exhausting just because it's overwhelmingly boring for them. Well, what about the fourth level? That's your inferior function. I liken that to running. You do not do it automatically. You're not good at it past a certain point, and it doesn't bring you pleasure inherently. You need 3 different things in order to run. The same is true with your inferior function. You need a motivation. You need a compensation. And you need a restoration. Since it's not automatic, something has to motivate you to start. Okay, now we got the compensation. That's the key to keep you going. That's your focus and the reason why. Yeah, it is tough, but you're going to keep doing it. And then when you're done, yeah, you need the restoration. You need recovery time from doing it. And I tell people now, look, it's obviously a good activity because for other people, it's their dominant function. You need to watch how much you do it, control not only how, but also when and where you do it. So it's not overly exhausting for you. Okay, let me see if I got a notification here. Okay, that wasn't what I thought it was. Thank you again for bearing with me. Okay, so when we're talking about our inferior function, you should not spend more than 2 hours a day doing what is at the very, very bottom of your list, functional wise, right? When we're talking about a different personality, I'll just pick a couple personalities that you can kind of follow with me because you might want to take notes or play the recording of the show again, go into the archives and play it again. But I do have a book if you want that too. Okay, so what we're talking about is the 4 letters that are number 2 and number 3 of your personality. That's the S, the N, the T, and the F. Everybody does them. It's just the first and the last letter tell you which ones you do most to least, best to worst. Okay, so stay with me here. Now, the last letter of your personality is going to tell you which of the 2 middle letters is extrovertedly inclined. If you're a judger, it's the third letter, the T or the F of your personality that will have an extroverted orientation. If you're a P, it is the second letter, the S or the N, that will have an extroverted orientation. Okay. And then what that's going to mean is the other letter of your personality will be introverted. And that's why the first letter is so important because it's going to tell you which one you do best. Do you do your introverted function activity or your extroverted function activity best? Yeah, it's important to remember that because again, and I'm going to say this probably a couple times before the show is over, nature has a very good strategic plan and we are born with a personality. Some things in the world and with people in society need to get done more than other things. Yeah, so it's important to make sure that when we are born, we have the opportunity to learn and grow, new things change, new, but who we are born as with our personality can be very powerful if we know early on what's important, what people need, how and why they need it, and if we know the best and most healthy way to do things. Yeah, we're going to be a benefit to the world because our energy will be positive and our quality of performance will be high. Okay, so you know what? Just I'm trying really hard not to get emotional here when I talk about my husband, but I love that he's a sensor, and my middle son that I live with right now, he's a sensor too. I cannot be sensor. I have tried so often. I'm going to use the example of my husband's personality and my personality, because I could talk about them all day long. And you're going to hear in my voice how much I love these things about the people in my life. Okay, so my husband is ESTP. I'm INTP. Okay, now think about this. We have the same, excuse me, last two letters of our personality, but what's the difference between those first two? Okay, I'll tell you what it is. Now let's just go ahead and determine my husband's functional order. Since he's an ESTP, the P says that his second letter is going to be extroverted. Okay, so that means that the S is extroverted. That means his T is introverted. Okay, so that means if he's an extrovert, his extroverted sensing is his preferred activity. And then his introverted thinking is number two. His extroverted sensing is dominant. His introverted thinking is auxiliary. Now, but keep in mind, again, when we're talking about he's still going to have to do intuitive things and he's still going to have to do feeling things, how do we figure out which of those two are number three and number four, the tertiary and the inferior functions? How do we know? Because again, let's thank nature for this balance. Everything is about balance. If his S is extroverted, his N is going to be introverted. And if his T is introverted, when he's feeling, he's going to be extroverted when he does feeling things. Okay, so extroverted sensing, introverted thinking, extroverted feeling, introverted intuition. Those are his functions. Now, think about me. I'm an INTP. Now, as a P, that means that my second letter is going to be extroverted. That's an N. So then my third letter is going to be introverted. That's a T. If I have introverted thinking, that's my dominant function since I'm an introvert. So my extroverted intuition is auxiliary. Okay, so keeping in mind again the balance, let's start with the top. Introverted thinking, yeah, extroverted feeling, that's way down there at the bottom of the list. That's my inferior function. If I'm extroverted in my intuition, that means I'm introverted in my sensing. Okay, so that's fine. Then my husband and I were both introverted when we're thinking. Yeah, is that a good thing? okay, maybe not. Let's go ahead and take some examples of activities. What I tell people in order to be not only aware of other people, but grateful for them is knowing what each different activity qualifies as in life. Can you appreciate and respect and trust their behavior if you know why they're having maybe a little attitude problem with that particular activity? Well, yeah, because you know what? You're engaging their inferior level function, but what that means is you are basically telling them to hold their breath of their dominant function while they're running uphill. Yeah, they may be able to learn how to do something well, but they're going to be suffocating while they do it, and they can only do it well for so long before it does actually start to eat away at them, mentally or emotionally or physically. Okay, so one of the things I love is cooking. Okay. And I don't know if you guys, my listeners, my viewers, my colleagues, my connections, have you ever seen a man cook while he's multitasking and having a conversation. Oh yes, on television all the time now. But that's TV, that's not real life, is it? Yeah, it is. When you're talking about having great hand-eye coordination and being social with people while you're doing these physical activities with precision of execution. Okay, so I can learn how to cook, right? Now think about this. Think about this, people. My sensing, which is my tertiary function, had to think about that for a minute, is introverted. Okay, his is extroverted. Now, so for me, tertiary is like walking. Okay, that's not too hard. It's not like running. But yeah, I can only go for so long and it does make me tired to do it. The important thing to remember here is that when I am being sensory, I need to be introverted, because when I get an extroverted or to intuition, there we go. It really, my intuition turns off my sensing. You cannot do sensing and intuition at the same time. So when someone comes into the room, I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to go retard on my sensing now. I cut my hand literally when I'm cutting vegetables. I try to cut pieces of meat. I try to fry things. I don't quite put enough oil and then I turn it up too high. But if I'm trying to boil while I fry, something gets missed or done wrong. Yeah. Okay. So stop talking to me. Please stop talking to me. I can't do it for very long. Total in a day, not maybe 2 hours, three at the most. And don't, please don't ask me to do anything else with hand-eye coordination for the rest of the day, because I'm exhausted. I just walked 10 miles of my tertiary function. Yeah, technically I can walk 10 miles. Please don't ask me to do that again. Okay. And I think we can all relate to this. Look, sensing is a beautiful thing. It is probably the most dominant function of the human population. Some people do it in an introverted way, some people do it in an extroverted way. And I'm choosing this because I want you to understand that as an introvert, the other thing that I do in an introverted way is my thinking. That's my dominant function. So this is a secret. You've stayed with me this long. This is your present. You get to know the secret. You do your lower functions, your tertiary and your inferior functions, in the way of your dominant and auxiliary functions, or for the reason of your dominant and auxiliary functions, just within the same social orientation. And if that confuses you, let's stick with this example that I'm giving. The ESTP and the INTP, we're going to stick with cooking. Okay. Yeah, I have introverted thinking and introverted sensing. The quality of my sensing, my performance is going to go up if I'm engaging my thinking function. Okay, now think about this again, no pun intended. If I can create some kind of project that is going to require my thinking function and it's going to employ my brilliance. Yeah, I am really brilliant. So one of the things I do for cooking is I create things differently and I discern how this happens with that and why it goes. Okay, hold on. Let me see now. If I use this one instead of that, oh, look at that. If I do that, it'll be so good. I'm going to try out that thing. That fuels my activity. It improves the quality of my performance and it gratifies me when I'm done. Find out what your functions in life are. And most importantly, do what's real and what's natural for you for two reasons. First of all, because then people are going to appreciate and respect and trust you even more because you're being honest and you're being high quality. When you say to someone, look, I'm going to be honest with you, you're asking me to do something that's just not normal and easy and pleasurable for me. It's not natural. Be patient with me. I might disappoint you a little bit in the beginning, but I'm going to give it 100% effort. Wow, they're going to appreciate that. And they have one of two options then. They can either have someone else do that particular activity, or they can say, well, yeah, you're the only one I have to do it, but I'm going to be patient and grateful and kind with you when we do this. I gotta tell you, I love my husband so much and I appreciate him so much because His intuition is horrible and it's introverted. My intuition is great and it's extroverted. So yeah, we're both introverted thinkers, but what are we different at? What do we appreciate and respect and trust about each other? Because we know that our intentions are good, even when our performance, yeah, not real impressive. Our abilities might be compromised in some way because sometimes life happens and it gets in the way or it confuses us or exhausts us. Yeah, know what people are, understand them and appreciate them. And most importantly, tell people the truth about who you are. When they respect you for being honest, they will trust you. And when they trust you, they will appreciate it. Relationships are an art. Synergy is a power. Use your power to make beautiful art in the world with people. Appreciate who they truly are. Respect the differences that you have together and trust their intentions. Do you know that in general, people are good? They do have good intentions. And the most important way to confirm that is by talking. Again, you know what? There is no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. When you talk to people, show that you appreciate and respect and trust them by being honest and giving them credit. Yeah, trust them until they give you a reason not to. And even when they do, respect them enough to be honest with them and say, okay, you know what? This is what I'm thinking right now. And this is what it looks like. And this is how it made me feel. Do you want to talk about this? Wow, you know what? They might be pleasantly surprised and very blown away by your candor and your directness, but also your sensitivity about not only how to behave, but what that person needs. We all need the same thing. Synergy is what we create when we come together. Even if we're an introvert, we want to come together with high quality people. And that's another thing that I tell people, quality over quantity. Yeah, fertilizer is good. I like fertilizer to do certain fertilizer things, but platinum and gold, they're more valuable. Think about the quality of your soul when you're with people and the quality of other souls, other people when they're with you. Do you know how to bring out, to really bring out the gold and the platinum, not only performance, but thoughts and feelings in people? Are they going to trust and respect that about you? Yeah, it's very important to remember this. Okay, so now I just want to let people who have questions, let me just pull something up because I only have a few minutes here left for the show. Okay, back to LinkedIn. I do have a few posts that I am asking people to give me their opinions about. So if you want to go ahead, Gabrielle Cardona, okay, you can see my picture there. It's the same picture as here for the station, for the radio show. And I'm going to actually be talking, okay, a little bit about different sex topics, because some people in private messages were talking about different themes about sex. So if you do actually want to know specific information from the perspective of a coach, please don't hesitate to call or to email to reach out to me. Because again, since I do this show every week, 888-627-6008, and the email account is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. And again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your loyalty and your support and your following. And I gotta say, I'm really impressed with my producer today. He's the only one in this station and he's doing it all himself. You know what? I think he might be a sensory perceiver like my husband, because he can multitask just as well as any woman, if not better. So I just want to say again, Dawn, thank you so much for being great to me and the people that I've referred over to BBS Radio. I have a couple other friends and very esteemed colleagues who might want to start their own show as well. So let's talk. Let's get together and create some synergy. If anybody else has any questions, don't ever hesitate to call the station. Yeah. We got some good producers and a good company. We're worldwide. Remember, you have power, the power of synergy. Thank you for listening today on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.